Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, our homily, for our homily is taken from the book of Acts, the reading, and I will repeat verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. In Christ Jesus, our once crucified, now risen and exalted Savior, dear friends, we're at the last week now, for better or for worse. And certainly we could have no more exciting and inspirational text than the one that is before us. Philip going down to Samaria, a village in Samaria unidentified, and there preaching the powerful gospel of Christ Jesus. It was sort of a halfway house between Judaism and the Gentile world. We know the story of the Samaritans well, and it certainly was an unlikely place to launch a mission thrust. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and the feeling was mutual. Though they worshipped Yahweh and kept the Sabbath, they accepted only the 5 books of Moses, missing completely the great messianic promise of the prophets, and they worshipped at Gerizim rather than at Jerusalem. Jews traveling from Galilee to Judah would bypass Samaria in most cases. And so a great deal of animosity existed between the Jewish nation and the Samaritans. And yet Philip went there. And the account of our text is a thrilling account. Philip preached Christ. The Samaritans heeded. Wonderful things happened. Satan was routed. Evil was dispatched. Yet even the evil that Simon Magus was perpetrating as he practiced religious sorcery in their midst. Souls were healed. And then our text, and there was great joy in that city. The preaching of Christ crucified, even in unlikely places, bears rich fruit. And so as we go our different ways, after this school year, this text reassures us, gives us added comfort and strength. And this morning, led by God's Holy Spirit, confirms us in our joy when we preach Christ. In many cases, we too will be preaching Christ in unlikely and unpromising places. Even though we are serving congregations directly, even God's people are affected by the society in which they live. And our society is an unlikely place for the gospel. Our society in America reflects the strong desire of man to deny his guilt and shame, to try to explain his behavior in non-judgmental terms, to try to understand himself not as a rebel from God's righteous wrath, but as a person in his own right who dares to stand up to life and can solve any problems that come his way. Such arrogance provides at least part of the atmosphere in which we will be preaching Christ. And without the condemnation of the law, there is no need for a Savior. And so the powerful gospel message, which is central on this seminary ground, becomes less than central in that atmosphere. There is no need for a redeemer. In this half-lit world of science and superstition, we will be going out and proclaiming law and gospel. And as the Spirit works with this law-gospel tension, and brings people, first of all, to a knowledge of their sins, and then to a deep love and trust in their Savior, we will be privileged to preach that message in an unlikely place. in an unpromising field. But let us move to our task with joy, with an expectant joy, for we are carrying the word of life. We are carrying the powerful promises of God. Ours is an expectant joy, because the preaching of Christ still bears the same fruit that is described so succinctly and so powerfully in our text. Where the gospel is heeded, where people are brought to Christ, there wonderful things can happen. And this is our joy and our privilege, undeserving and unworthy though we are. Some may think that that message is somewhat depressing and stultifying to one's lifestyle. And certain Samaritans felt the same way, perhaps, at the moment of hearing, particularly since the message was brought by a hated Jew. But as the Holy Spirit worked through this word, Satan was routed, as I stated before. Evils were reduced, and saving faith was born, and baptism was administered. The combination of unwelcome disciplines and unnecessary restraints which the world sees in the gospel are unknown to us, for we live in the freedom of the gospel, and that is our joy as ambassadors for Christ, as preachers of this precious gospel message. Our relationship with those to whom we preach this precious gospel is an intimate one. It is one directed by God Himself. And for that reason, we with great joy and confidence can go out and preach this saving message. But there is more. This saving message, when preached in its truth and purity, will bear rich fruit. It will bring joy wherever it is heard and heeded. And that is the glory of the preaching of Christ crucified. For where he is presented, there Satan is dispatched. The power of evil is reduced. The misery and agony, so trenchant and so obvious in our society, is approached and overcome by God's Holy Spirit. Now, at first glance, it might appear that in the latter part of our text, Peter and John were dispatched by the church at Jerusalem because Philip had no such authority. That is not what the text says. It says simply that Peter and John were sent because they had heard that many there were baptized. They still did not have the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit. Simon Magus was still in their presence, in their midst. And so Peter and John came. And in a little aside, it is interesting to us to note that one of the Boanerges, the sons of thunder, who not long before had wanted to call down fire on a Samaritan village because of its lack of hospitality, now was coming to confirm the preaching of the gospel in that unlikely place. And when they laid on hands, that same Jesus who had poured out the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost Sunday now pours out the Holy Spirit also upon these half-Gentiles, preparing the way for the coming of the great St. Paul. And there is another little aside. This great gospel message, with all its power, had passed through two baptisms of blood. The first and the most significant was when our Savior was nailed to the accursed tree to give power and force to the gospel message. There he shed his holy precious blood and began that life-saving stream that reaches every age and every generation down to our day for as long as the world stands. The first baptism of blood for the gospel, ensuring, confirming its saving power. But then there was another baptism of blood, that of the first martyr, Stephen. And the one who replaced Stephen was the Philip of our text, later to be known as the evangelist. Let us then, in the spirit of Philip, and with all the confidence in this precious gospel message, which is sealed with the blood of the Lamb of God, let us then go out and preach Christ and know that great joy will follow that preaching. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.